Hundreds of thousands of illegal Chinese immigrants have come for the last 20 years from one province, Fujian. Yesterday, we heard why so many Fujianese allow themselves to be smuggled into the United States. Today, we follow the long smuggler's trail that got them here. Irene J. Liu reports.
West side of the boat, there's a man dangling on the last rung of a ladder, hanging on, looks like the dear life.
In the summer of 1993, a rusty steamer ran aground off of New York City. Nearly 300 illegal Chinese immigrants plunged into the chilly waters, desperate to touch American soil. 10 would die in the water within sight of shore. The boat was called the Golden Venture, and its passengers were smuggled immigrants from Fujian province in China. The Golden Venture became national news. It was the first time many people had heard of human smuggling from China. 14 years later, the flow of Fujianese to America continues, but the business of human smuggling has changed significantly. When the smuggling began 2 decades ago, the cost of going to the U.S. was around $15,000. Now, immigrants pay the smugglers, known in Chinese as Setou, or snakeheads, between $60,000 and $80,000 to be smuggled into America. In the town of Shouzhen in Fujian province, people gather in the communal area. Old men play cards in the corner, while others drink tea and talk. There are very few women here, and no young people. Villagers say smuggling is an open business in Fujian. One of them says everyone knows how to find a snakehead.
Of course we know where to find the snakehead, but if you don't have the money, you can't ask them to take you.
People who can go are aided by family, friends, and former neighbors who have already prospered in the U.S.
Some people have family out there already, and the people overseas will take care of you and introduce you.
And lend the money that pays for the snakehead. For the most part, human smuggling is no longer about packing hundreds of people into dangerous ships. Nowadays, smuggling involves airports and cars and crisscrossing the globe on scheduled flights. Smuggling people this way requires fake documents, and Bangkok is one place to get them. In Thailand's capital city, there's a closed-off street known as Khaosan Road. At night, it lights up with bright signs advertising tattoo and massage parlors. The air smells of humidity, grilled meat, people, and booze. Here, you can buy fake IDs, driver's licenses, press cards, even fake degrees. At the end of Khaosan Road, a restaurant owner and part-time passport dealer says stolen passports are much in demand.
There's a hotel called Malaysia Hotel at Lumpini that has some people who make fake passports. It is the biggest source of fake passports in Thailand. At the hotel, they do everything for you.
The man, who didn't want his name used because of his illegal work, started dealing passports about 10 years ago.
It's not that every passport has the same price. For example, the U.S. passport is almost worthless because everything is very strict. It's the same with UK passport. You cannot fake it.
The dealer says older pre-digital passports are especially valuable.
People will use the same passport. They peel back the cover and switch to picture. They change the name, the signature, like how they do it with fake student IDs.
For the Chinese who are smuggled through Bangkok, the journey starts out legally. Many of them fly into Bangkok International Airport with their own Chinese passports on legal tourist visas. But these tourists never go home. In Thailand, they get fake documents and then move on to the next stop along the smuggling route. It's a meandering route through many lands, Russia, Europe, Africa, Latin America, before finally reaching the U.S. Good smugglers, the expensive ones, run a full-service operation. They escort the Chinese each step of the way, providing food, lodging, and transportation. Smugglers work through local operators with local nicknames. So a snakehead in China might work with pig daddies in Thailand, who hand off their charges to coyotes in Latin America. The Central American country of Belize, with Mexico to the north, has become a stopover for smugglers traveling by land from Latin America to the U.S. In a tiny country of only 300,000, Belize has a surprisingly large Chinese population, more than 3%. Those familiar with the trade say the smugglers are local Chinese Belizean business people. It's dusk in Douglas, a little village that lies next to the Rio Hondo, the river that divides Mexico and Belize. Smugglers use unofficial crossings like Douglas to take Chinese migrants into Mexico. The dirt road through Douglas literally stops at the banks of the Rio Hondo. When I arrive, two men with bikes and a gaggle of kids immediately show up. One of the guys, in a white t-shirt and jeans, doesn't seem surprised to see me, but asks if I have arrived by myself.
Only you come?
Only me, yeah, just by myself.
The man who questions me seems confused and suspicious of my presence there. He and his shaggy-haired friend stare as I take pictures and look around. Little canoes are tied up to the embankment, and locals explain that they are used for shuttling people and contraband between Belize and Mexico. But the man with the bike denies this.
These little canoes, do they go back and forth? They can go back and forth. Like the ones right over here and over there. There's one over there.
Yeah, the canoes, they use it for fishing.
For fishing?
Fishing, yes, oh, okay. Yeah.
I chat with the two men for a few minutes and then drive away. An hour later, I return to the river's edge. Already the stars are out and the mosquitoes are swarming. Approaching the riverbank for a second time, I see one of the men, the one with the shaggy hair, leaning on his bike. It seems clear that at this unofficial crossing, with only his bike and the mosquitoes for company, he's waiting for something or someone. After the Chinese cross into Mexico, they move north and are smuggled across the border into the U.S. Every week, 50 to 100 Chinese nationals are caught trying to cross the U.S.-Mexican border. Those who make it to the U.S. are taken to safe houses and handed cell phones. They call family to say they've arrived safely, and the snakeheads immediately go to the relatives' homes, either in China or the U.S., to collect the debt in person. Once they're released by the snakeheads, these new immigrants fan out across the country, boarding Chinatown buses that take them to every corner of America. They go to jobs offered by Chinese immigrants who've already made it, seeking for themselves a piece of the prosperity they've seen from those who've traveled the path before. For NPR News, I'm Irene J. Liu.
Our first report on the impact of human smuggling on China's Fujian province and New York's Chinatown is at npr.org.